This is the law of exchange. The law of exchange is one of the most powerful and frequently used of all the laws. It not only sets the precedent on how we should conduct business with others, but outlines how we can strengthen bonds within the family. It can also aid us in growing a large client base or level of influence without having to exponentially increase our fixed overhead, capital, or risk. This law may be of particular interest to those who already have a certain level of influence or who work in the public eye. This would include entertainers, professional speakers, or those in an advisory role such as a business coach or mentor. Many of the world's elites have attributed the law of exchange as one of the key metrics used in building global empires. To begin, it is important for us to look at how others are interacting in the world around us, especially when it comes to the building of a large client base, other relationships in business, or even in family. If you really take time to ponder over the matter, you will find that there are only four types of exchange when it comes to the transaction of money, goods and services, or in the imparting of value and knowledge to others. Here are the four types of exchange. Number one, criminal exchange. Number two, partial exchange. Number three, fair exchange. And number four, abundance exchange. Let's take a moment to discuss each one of these exchange rates and the behavior that each exchange rate promotes. To fully grasp the main points of this lesson, it is important that you visualize the following story in your mind's eye. A businessman is in the airport, catching a connecting flight to his final destination when suddenly he is notified that the flight has been delayed due to turbulent weather. He now has just over 2 hours to kill before his new flight boards. Rather than getting upset, the man looks at this as an opportunity to grab something to eat and to catch up on some work before returning to the office on Monday. After identifying the location of his new terminal, the man finds a nearby restaurant, enters, and is seated. The restaurant is very busy, with many business people, tourists, and others all hoping to get a meal in before it is their time to depart. After ordering, the man proceeds to pull out a leather binder containing a notepad, his notes, and important documents pertaining to his work. The man also pulls out a very expensive gold pen that he had splurged on as a reward a couple of years ago, of which he still wasn't sure was a good decision. As the man begins to work, another man enters the restaurant and is in need of a place to sit. After scanning the restaurant, he notices the first man sitting at a table by himself with extra chairs. He proceeds to walk over and asks the man if he could share his table. The first man replies, "Sure, have a seat," and the two men engage in brief conversation. As the second man begins to order, the first man goes back to taking notes in preparation of new clients that he'll be meeting with in the next couple of days. As the first man continues to work, the second man notices this beautiful pen in which the man is so eloquently writing. He comments on the pen, and the first man proceeds to tell him the story surrounding the purchase of the pen and how he wasn't sure if he should have spent the money. As the second man inspects the pen, he offers to buy it from the first man for slightly more than was originally given, as he is unaware of the original purchase price. An agreement is made, and now the two men can exchange in one of four ways. Suppose the new buyer of the pen pulls out the amount of money that was agreed upon, hands it to the first man, and the other man puts it in his pocket and proceeds to run out of the restaurant, leaving the first man without the pen. This is obviously a criminal exchange. One man completely fulfilled his obligations. However, the other man took advantage of the man's trust and generosity and offered no value in return, thus making him a criminal. We do not recommend this course of action, as it will result in very bad consequences. However, it is a fact of life that many actively participate in this type of behavior. Let's change the story and say that after the two men made the verbal agreement, the second man pulled out the amount of money on which was agreed and handed it to the first man. The first man says, "You are paying me this for the pen, correct?" After removing the cap of the pen, he hands it to the man, puts the cap in his pocket, and walks away. This action is a partial exchange. One man completely fulfilled his obligation as agreed upon, but the first man only provided partial value, leaving the second man wanting. It is quite sad, but nonetheless factual, that many business people today only provide partial exchange. This may be intentional or unintentional. Some have the tendency to overpromise and underdeliver, and despite valiant efforts and good intentions, they simply cannot fulfill the terms that they have promised to others. If we have provided partial exchange with our customers or clients, it will be very difficult to grow a substantial business, not to mention the moral issue it creates and the risk at which we put our reputation. Some clients may even choose to continue to do business with those who have only provided partial exchange, rationalizing that it was their fault for not spelling out clear terms and executing those terms in the form of a legal contract. Although outlining clear terms and getting things in writing is always recommended, there is still a certain level of trust that needs to be shown in doing business with others, backed up by basic moral practices. Now, let's go back to our story and assume that the two men, after making their agreement, both complied and completely fulfilled their obligations. Both individuals have provided fair exchange and will likely be satisfied. It is probable that friendship can ensue. In fact, it becomes more likely that if the two men are in complementary businesses that could intersect and create an opportunity for mutual benefits, then a partnership or strategic joint venture will be created. By practicing fair value exchange and providing your customers or clients with the amount of value that was promised, you will likely begin to get business derived from word of mouth. This can be powerful and eventually can lead to substantial growth. Finally, let's go back to our illustration of the two men. Consider another course of action. What if the second man, after pulling out the amount of money which was agreed upon, hands it to the first man, and the first man hands over the pen, creating fair exchange? Both men are satisfied and happy with the terms of the deal being met. Then the first man says, "You know, I'm glad my flight was delayed. It's been great getting to know you, and it's nice to find someone else who conducts business on a handshake. I think you are a special person, and I want to do something else for you." The first man then proceeds to reach into his pocket and pulls out a very extravagant gold money clip with diamonds encrusted and says, "This money clip also came with the pen. In fact, I bought them as a set. I want you to have it to show you just how much I've appreciated getting to know you." At this, the second man finds himself at a lack for words and then insists that he give the man more money. The first man waves his hand and says, "No, absolutely not. I value people such as yourself, and I want to give you this added value as a gift with no strings attached." How do you think this kind of gesture would make the other man feel? It is all but guaranteed that the two men will exchange information and become dear friends. They will likely look for ways to continue to do business with one another, and each man will even send the other referrals, much like the word-of-mouth advertising that is received when providing fair exchange. The difference is, when we provide fair exchange, we may earn a satisfied client, and in the circumstances where one of their friends or colleagues needs a service similar to the one you provide, they may offer your name. However, when you give abundance exchange, it makes a much deeper impact. It will also set these newly satisfied clients on a new mission, a mission of assisting you in building your business. Instead of recommending your services to fellow friends and workmates when they inquire about needing such services, These loyal friends will start selling your products or services to everyone they meet, even if the need never arises. They will become walking billboards and will likely devote several hours per month promoting you and your business. Whether they take this positive action deliberately or not, they will very proactively assist you at a subconscious level in the building and expanding of your business. Providing abundance exchange to all of our clients and customers is without a doubt the fastest way to build an empire. It is also a way to recruit much more help without having to establish a rate of pay, which will only serve to increase fixed overhead and expenses. In heeding this counsel, we need to all seriously look at the rate at which we are exchanging with others. We should look at our client base and establish who has received partial exchange and what it would take to bring them to a point of fair exchange. Once we've established fair exchange, it is important to find a way in which to establish abundance exchange. This does not establish the need for spending a lot of money, nor does it create the need for the giving of gifts of gold and diamonds. Abundance exchange can be accomplished by offering a small token of gratitude to someone, showing them appreciation for who they are as a person. Flowers, candy, or even a simple card can accomplish abundance exchange, as long as it's not their birthday, anniversary, or tied to another important event. The gesture needs to come from a place of gratitude, simply to show them how much we care about them. It is also of the utmost importance to make sure that we don't broker extra value by way of terms. A salesman might say, "For this price, I can offer you this package, but for this price, package B comes with a lot more value. Also, by the investing of XYZ, you can receive our gold package, which is the most valuable of all of our products." Though there is certainly nothing wrong with having multiple options for your customers and clients to choose from, we are not automatically creating abundance exchange. Whether a customer had chose the first package, the second package, or the gold package, only fair exchange would have been established. Abundance exchange starts by creating a fair exchange. Then, once a fair exchange has been established, one of the parties adds value to the other, either at that time or at a later date. This is unbeknownst to the other party and is not tied to any term upon which the seller will receive additional compensation. So, what is the way in which you are exchanging with others? Likely, it's everyone's first reaction to respond with fair exchange or abundance exchange. However, after deep contemplation, you may find that you are unknowingly creating partial exchange to many, which now provides you with the opportunity to correct the matter and ultimately give an exchange of abundance. This is surely to change the nature of your business and expedite your journey towards wealth creation. Many of the world's most successful and honest businessmen have admitted to providing a large scale of fair exchange, abundance exchange, and even criminal exchange. You may ask, how can they be honest if they are creating criminal exchange? In actuality, most good people are creating their fair share of criminals by promoting criminal exchange. It is likely that you are even participating in criminal exchange on a regular basis. You see, when you take a genuine interest in someone and repeatedly provide them with value and ask nothing in return, this leads to very damaging results. When you provide value in the way of products, services, or by imparting knowledge and education, and you allow the receiver to receive without paying a rate of exchange, a very interesting thing happens. At first, they are filled with appreciation for this kind of gesture you have shown. As you continue to provide value and give of yourself freely, the receiver begins to have guilt, and the many gifts that you are bestowing upon them will start to weigh heavy on their minds. Appreciation will soon turn to guilt, and although they still view themselves as a close friend or fan, they may begin to fall out of contact or avoid your calls. If we continue to impart more value, possibly in the way of coaching or free advice, they will eventually get to a place where they can't understand why you have done so much for them when they have not given anything in return. Their mind will want to eliminate the guilt associated with your friendship and all you have done for them. They will subconsciously remove the weight they have been carrying by fabricating stories and convincing themselves that you had ulterior motives all along. In a very short period of time, they will consciously defame your name by telling others how you mistreated them or took advantage of them. Most professional speakers, business coaches, life coaches, and mentors have all experienced this phenomenon firsthand. When you constantly give value to others and demand nothing in return, you participate in criminal exchange by creating a criminal. Once these ones whom we formerly cared about become criminals, it is very hard to ever repair the relationships, especially if they are outside the family unit. You may be currently helping many people out of the sheer goodness of your heart, but it is in your best interest, and theirs, to have some type of exchange rate, even if it's only a partial exchange. This rule also applies to our family and close circle of friends. When parents give their child everything and do not lay out a clear path of which the child is responsible for some type of exchange, they will promote criminal behavior. The child may be very appreciative of all the toys, experiences, and other provisions you provide, but as they grow, they begin to develop guilt. Subconsciously, they know that they are not toeing the mark, and this begins to weigh on them and their self-esteem. If the child reaches the age of preteen or teenager, and no clear path has been established for exchange by the way of chores or other duties, the child may experience a subconscious guilt, and they may begin to fabricate stories in their mind, or justify false reasoning. This could result in very bad and aggressive behavior. The child may even be heard uttering the words, "I hate you!" If we have allowed this to happen, then find a way for them to start imparting at least partial exchange. This will relieve tension and improve their self-esteem. They will begin to feel like they have value and are worthy of your love. As we bring this partial exchange into fair exchange, they will change their feelings towards you and look for ways to provide abundance exchange to you. It is of the highest importance to share this lesson with them so that they can understand this powerful law and the behaviors of which the exchange rates promote. When doing business inside or outside of the alliance, we must always strive to provide abundance exchange. If all parties practice this law, then business will become easy and growth will become certain. This is why members may seek to do business and fulfill their needs within the alliance first, before offering them to others outside of the alliance. The law of exchange is a key ingredient to creating generational wealth and broad influence. Let's strictly adhere to our core values and to this law. If we do, we will receive our reward in abundance. Live well and prosper fairly.